Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
What a great, great day for a Dig It show just before a long weekend to inspire us in the garden and for plants in our homes. This could be the theme of your long weekend ahead. Get some greenery around you. Hester's here with some really easy plants to take care of. Hester. Thanks
hello.
For joining us for Dig It.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you? This is fab.
So if you're tempted to go to a garden centre across the long weekend.
If you're tempted. I like the if.
Of course you will, but when you're tempted, you're right. I'm just going to tell you now that our lovely sponsors, Shilliger Garden Centre, they are open on Good Friday and on Easter Monday in Glan. The other stores open just on Good Friday. They will be closed on the actual Sunday, though, of Easter.
So you should be at home. Well, that'll be the time to the plants you bought on Friday. You can plant them on Sunday.
Exactly. You've got it.
Before you cook your nut roast.
And then a little later on today, we're going to tell you about their spring festival that's going on as well for the following weekend. So get ready. More shopping, more plant shopping. Hester, what's our theme for today? What are we talking about?
We're talking about dry gardening and no water plants.
Do no water plants exist?
Kinda.
I knew there'd be a catch.
There's
it couldn't be
catch.
That easy. So tell me, what do you mean by kinda? No water plants kinda
exist? They sort of exist. There are plants that need very little water. Or will tolerate long periods of neglect. These are for indoor plants or for outdoor plants. Probably a good idea to water them when they first go in, or they don't need very much watering at all after they've got established. And that really is what we're looking at today.
What are some examples then? I'm thinking of desert plants.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that it?
So exactly. So there's lots of things. So the plants that come from dry regions, things like, for indoors, anything like cacti or anything like that. And we'll talk about the real no water plants in a minute. And for outside, things that come from Mediterranean regions where it's very, very summer dry, but might rain a bit in the winter, or prairies. Also doesn't tend to rain very much in the summer. So there's lots of groups of plants that you can think about having for your garden.
So things like succulents.
Yeah,
as one example. All right, Hester, looking forward to finding out more about these. If anyone else has got any suggestions, by the way, of any particular no water plants or just plants that are surviving particularly well with some neglect at home, we'd love to hear from you. You can email me studio@worldradio.ch, and also we'll tell you about a prize that we have from Shilliger Garden Centre to give away on the show today. Stay tuned.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I'm sitting here with a pen in hand, ready to note all of the easy, easy plants that we are going to talk about. Hester, name some of the no water or very, very little water plants.
So I think we should probably have a chat about air plants.
Go on.
To start off with. And their proper name is Tillandsia.
These are the ones that just sort of hang. You can attach them from on a string, can't you?
You could put them on bits of wood. And luckily enough, I chatted to the lovely Paolo Micheli at Orticolario last year. Shall we hear what he has to say on the subject?
They are not so complicated. So if you put in at home inside, you can just wash them under the tap or submerge them in a bowl with water, completely submerge for a few minutes every 10 or 15 days.
That's it.
That's it.
You don't need to give them fertilizer?
Sometimes, yes. 3 or 4 times per year, it's enough.
What variety should someone look for if they're a real beginner?
The difference that you can see about the colors, let's say, it's because they live in different, very different environments. So you can find the green ones in the tropical forest, for example, and the gray one in semi-desertic areas. At home, the gray ones, you have to water them less. And the green ones, we have to water a little bit more than 2 times per month. So let's say 3 times per month is enough.
That was Paolo Micheli of Micheli Plants, and I talked to him at Orticolario. And he was talking about Tillandsias. And as he explained, there's 2 sorts of Tillandsias. So the ones we really want as water not resistant gardeners, let's call us water thoughtful gardeners, are the grey ones. And they're grey because they're covered with these little tiny hairs called trichomanes, and that's what absorbs the water. And so you literally need to put them, as Paolo said, put them in a bowl, let submerge them for about 10 minutes or so, and then let them come out and they drip dry on your draining board.
I see. So even though these non-water plants, you do need to essentially dunk them a little bit, but you don't water them in such a traditional way.
No, I mean, I'd say I would treat, I wouldn't completely submerge them, but orchids are very similar. I water my orchids in the same manner once every 2 weeks. I dunk the whole pot in water, leave them in there for about 10 minutes and then drain them, and that's it. And then, like Paolo said, fertilise them a few times a year and job done.
Is that the same with a lot of cactus as well, or cacti?
Cacti, they need to be even drier.
Even drier. So dunk them at any point?
No, I would just water them from above, let the water drain out, because they really don't like getting soggy. Let the water properly drain out. Just wear a draining board, or watering them outside is absolutely brilliant. And then they really, really drain properly. And cacti will tell you when they're getting really dry, and they can go a month between waterings.
Actually, talking about these air plants, though, we've got a couple of these to give away from Shilliger Garden Centre. They've kindly given us a couple to give away for a lucky winner. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. What's the easiest plant that you've ever had? It doesn't have to be one of these air plants, but what's the easiest plant that you've ever had to look after? Something that has needed very little care, or that's taken care of itself mostly. You'll go into the draw for a Tillandsia or air plant. In fact, two of them from Shilliger Garden Centre. Also, as well, our lucky winner will get a coffee voucher for two at Shilliger Garden Centre, because they've got a lovely cafe there. So you can actually go in there and have a quick drink
in the
cafe.
Maybe have a little browse around the other plants.
Oh, do.
Maybe.
Always. Let me know, though, the easiest plant to take care of that you've ever had, studio@worldradio.ch. Name a few others, though, for us, Hester. What other plants are considered no water plants or very limited water plants?
So there's the ZZ plants. Zamia coulcas, which is, you can get all of these in Shilliger. They absolutely have them in their easy peasy beginner section. They need watering about once a month.
I've been watering mine too much then. Okay,
probably.
Interesting.
Have a poke in the soil. If the soil is damp, you can let it dry out a bit. They're very forgiving.
And the next plant I know that we're going to talk about is one that's been on my list. This is on my pot plant list.
Oh,
snake plants.
They're awesome.
I really think they're beautiful.
I think they're beautiful. They come in loads of different colours. They're also known as mother-in-law's tongue, which I think is rather unfortunate, or Sansevierias. The best example I have ever seen is in Geneva in the Botanic Garden, and they are enormous. Absolutely huge, and they're stunning.
That is definitely on my list.
Worth a trip to just go and have a little look.
Those are all the indoor ones. We will come up to talk about some of the outdoor minimal watering plants that you can plant in your garden coming up.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Let's talk about those plants that need very little care that we can plant in the garden. We've already had a little list of things that we might have in the house. So go on, Hester, what have you got for us that will be really easy? We don't need to care too much.
I would look for plants that come from naturally dry regions and are designed to deal with natural dryness, but in our region can also deal with a little bit of wet in winter.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you find those plants?
Quite tricky. So I would say things like Mediterranean plants, so Artemisia, those beautiful silvery leaves, lavenders, rosemary, catmint, which I'm sure will be dear to your heart, sage, anything like that. And these have almost all got silvery leaves. So you need to
smell things, good.
Yeah, and they smell lovely, and they really take very little care at all. I have never watered lavender, Artemisia, rosemary or sage ever. It rains enough in this region that you shouldn't have to water. I'd say water them when you very first put them in, and just keep an eye on them, because they can go a bit floppy and pathetic. But once they're in and they're established, they don't need any help.
Now, just ahead of summer, when we inevitably all get some kind of sunburn and can really use some support on our skin, an aloe vera plant is really nice, I find.
Yeah,
you can get a
lovely,
very natural one. So what about that? Is that something that can grow in this region? So
I would have said 5 years ago, absolutely not. However, I've seen several in clients' gardens right up against a wall with a fairly good draining gravel around them. Yeah, they can absolutely go outside. And if not, get a big plant, which is what I have. Mine lives outside for the whole of the summer and then it goes in the garage.
I find that weeds do rather well. So why do the weeds do very well without actually needing to water them? And yet most of our plants need watering.
So things that are annual weeds are really designed to deal with tricky situations and get to flowering and setting seed quickly, because that's their point. And perennial weeds have these really long taproots. If you ever try to dig up a dandelion or anything like that, they have these incredibly deep taproots. So they're actually really good at finding water. And so I would say, think about things that might be considered weeds. So California poppies, Eskoltzia, which honestly, they're the gift that keeps on giving. So be quite careful what you put them down. Mm-hmm. Or anything that is in the Achillea family, which yarrows, which can be considered to be weeds. Obviously, there are garden cultivars. They're really hardy. They'll just trundle along and kind of get on with it. And some of the daisies as well, some of the daisy family, the erigerons, once you put them in, they'll just reproduce themselves and then you'll just be pulling them out rather than trying to put them in.
What about different grasses?
There's loads of grasses. I'm not at all yet bored of grasses and their wonderfulness. And although I did hear someone being very sniffy about them on the radio the other day. Penicetums and miscanthus in particular do really well in dry situations. But lots of them, once they're in and you've watered them for the first, I'd say, a few weeks, they don't need any more help. Just let them get on with it, and which is why it makes them a very good match for a lot of these Mediterranean plants. So not only do they look really pretty with the kind of textural contrast of these nice fluffy, fluffy leaves in comparison to the grey kind of solidity of things like lavenders, they look beautiful together, but they also have very similar watering requirements. So once you've adapted your watering to say, OK, I'm only ever going to water them when they start looking floppy, that's it for that whole group of plants.
If you are more of a pragmatic gardener, less of a decorative gardener, you want to grow your own food. Is there anything that is particularly easy in terms of growing your own veg?
Yeah, so I would go back to the Mediterranean theory. Look for things that thrive in low water zones, like artichokes.
Nice.
They're silvery leaf. They look beautiful as well. They're absolutely lovely. And they need almost no water. The amount of water we get from the sky in this region is absolutely enough. Some of the other things you might want to think about, peas and beans on the whole, once they've got established, don't need very little. Mustard greens also come from regions that really don't need a lot. Okra. If you like okra, some people don't. Some of the squashes also, surprisingly, don't need any external watering.
Really? They're just so watery.
I know, amazing. They're very good at sucking up and absorbing water from around them. Corn and sunflowers. Brilliant.
What about fruit? Is there anything? Because I know fruit itself is juicy.
It's just water. Yeah. Well, figs. Figs would be a brilliant example. Grapes as well come from low water regions and they're very, very good at running their roots to pick up as much water as possible. Don't need anything external. Khaki fruit, if you like them, they're really nice. Guavas, which are actually fully hardy in this region. Loquats as well. And rhubarb.
There's quite a list there, in fact. And so what about different resources that might teach us how to do that? Have you got any websites or books that you particularly recommend for any of this?
So I came across a book. It was recently published. It's from Timber Press. It is absolutely brilliant. It's called Gardening in Summer Dry Climates, Plants for a Lush, Water-Conscious Landscape. It's by Nora Harlow and Saxon Holt. Yeah. So Harlow's got decades of experience. She's a landscape designer as well as a water conservationist and loads of writing experience. So it's a good read as well as being well informed. And Saxon Holt's the photographer. It's intended for North American readers, so it's all in imperial measurements. So you might have to kind of reset your brain a little bit. And of course, the plant hardiness zones are all North American as well, but you literally need to look yours up once and then you're good. I really like it. So that it's surprising there's a lot to learn for a European reader, because actually they've got much more experience of the summer dry and winter wet climates than we do, and have decades of experience. And so they've had lots of practice in seeing what works and what doesn't work. Loads of great pictures. It should really help you to broaden your water-wise gardening plant palette and get a bit more adventurous and think slightly more broadly of things that you might want to give a go to. Also, lots of very practical and useful ideas on keeping the water that's come into your garden in your garden and using it, which we're also not very good at in Europe because we've had oodles of water up till now, including in the summer, and never really had to think about it. Mm-hmm. And actually actively managing the water and conserving it within your garden is a very good idea. And the plant selection section is encyclopedic.
Ooh.
It's really good. The pictures are really good and the descriptions are good, pithy, to the point and spot on. I think it's great.
What is this book
called? Gardening in Summer Dry Climates by Nora Harlow and Saxon Holtz, published by Timber Press. You can get it online or in all good bookshops if you order it.
Excellent. Okay, well, coming up in just a moment, we will go through some of your answers to the question today. What is the easiest plant that you've ever had? This is to go into the draw for a Tillandsia or an air plant, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. They've got a couple to give away. Our lucky winner will win a couple of those, so you can maybe keep one for yourself, give one away if you're lucky enough.
That's a nice idea.
To win that, and also a coffee voucher to go and enjoy their lovely cafe at Shilliger Garden Centre in Glong. So we'll go through some of your answers about the easiest plants that you've ever had, and also some of your questions that have been coming in about air plants or dry gardening. You can keep them coming in, studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glong and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I'm going to run through some of your answers about the easiest plants to look after. And Hester, you can give me a little thumbs up or thumbs down on whether or not you think that they are being cared for appropriately. Then we'll run through some of your questions. If you've got a question, send it in now, studio@worldradio.ch. Already got a few that are in. Hester is ready to answer them. Isabel says, in my pond, the water plants are great. The lily plants give wonderful flowers without any effort. Isabel, you're in the draw for an air plant or two air plants from Shilliger Garden Centre.
Brilliant suggestion.
Nice. Just chuck it in a pond. It'll water itself. This is interesting, though. Elizabeth says the easiest plant I've ever had is a monstera. I got one from a friend who was moving. I've now got seven and I've given many away because they have little monstera babies. I love them. They add lots of shape and shadows to any living space.
That's very true. That is a great suggestion. I love monsteras. Mm.
We did talk about cacti, and Susie said I've had a great Christmas cactus that survived a lack of water, multiple house moves and general neglect. Then I gave it to my mum, who killed it within 2 years.
Overwatering. Too much love.
Too much. And Sue says the easiest plant I've ever had was the Christmas cactus, again, which I left in the garden after flowering and boarded in when the first buds appeared. Was that right?
That was a brilliant idea. Yes, do that.
Love it. All right. We've also got Ash, who says, I had this money plant for the last 20 years. It's called the money tree plant, also the jade plant. It requires minimum care. It's called a money plant because the leaves resemble coins.
They do. Yeah. I love money plants.
So they're pretty easy. And then also Telma saying, I'm not really a green hand like my mother. My easy plant is a cactus. I've got seven at home. Even though I love orchids, they don't stay beautiful for long, although I managed to make them bloom twice.
Wow. I'm impressed. That's not easy.
Yeah?
Yeah, so you do have a green hand.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done, Telma. Well done. Keep them coming in, though, the text or the email. Let's have a look at listener questions. Let's see what you've been sending in. Are you ready, Hester?
I'm ready.
Patricia says, our neighbour has just removed the fence between our gardens and put up a new one, but a metre further into their garden. This leaves a big gap at the end of the border. Have you got any suggestions for plants that will work well without watering at the back? How lovely of your neighbour to give you an extra metre of space around your garden.
It is, and this does happen. So you can either have a fence that absolutely is on the property line and it's a neighbouring fence. It's a mitoyenne division, and it means you're both responsible for it. But if actually the neighbour wanted to, it may have actually belonged to the neighbour, this fence, and in fact it was in the wrong place, and they've just taken it much further into their garden, so it's absolutely their garden. You might want to check your property line. You might have regained garden, or you might have gained extra garden, which isn't actually yours. If it's not actually your garden, it belongs to your neighbour, you might want to check before you put anything in. I'm sure they'll be fine with it. If it is in fact your garden, you could go completely nuts. I would say think about making some height, because otherwise you're going to have all the plants at the front, they're a weird gap and then the fence. So you're going to have to fake height. And one of the ways you can do that is with climbing plants. You don't have to climb them on her fence or his fence. You can put obelisks in. Now, obelisks are these tall kind of pyramidal structures which will let you climbing plants up it. So clematis or roses or anything like that. I would go for roses or honeysuckle because they really don't need very much water. You need to water them when you very first put them in. After that, they will just do the job all by themselves. And down at ground level, I would think about something like hardy geraniums, because they need almost no watering either. And bulbs. Bulbs are brilliant for low water situations, particularly spring bulbs, because the ground is quite wet. It's before the canopy comes out and they will just get on with it all by themselves.
That one was from Patricia. I hope that one has helped, Patricia. We've got Manny. He says, we're finally going to Australia this summer to see my family. We've got friends coming to visit and to house sit for some of the time. I'm worried about our new hedge and some trees. What can I do to make sure that they're alive when we still get back in September?
I'd say make it easy. Make it really easy if you've got people coming to house sit. I would put in a watering system. Now, it doesn't need to be a fancy one. You can get them from Migros and they're perfectly good. They've got timers on them and you can attach it to your hose. So I put down what's called a seep hose. And it's a little flat hose and it's got holes punched in it all the way along. So run that right along your hedge line as close to the roots of the plants as you can and then attach that up to the hose pipe. And either pay somebody to come in a reliable fashion and put it on once, twice a week for a good hour, and or get your house sitters to do it when they're here. But then that way you'll definitely make sure your hedges are alive. For the trees, it's a bit more complicated. Get a hose pipe that stretches to the trees and put it on for half an hour or so, once or twice a week, for the just for the drier periods while it's going to need it. I think you're going to have to pay someone money, sorry.
Or set your calendar alert for someone. That you can actually get a calendar message that pops up in their feed.
Water.
Water my plants, please. Yeah. One last question before the news. We've got Paula who says, my mum is a keen gardener, but having a hip replacement and won't be able to get into the garden for a while. Are there any nice balcony or indoor plants that visitors could give the occasional cup of water to that would make her happy and feel like she's in the garden?
I think I would go for plants that she can then put out in the garden afterwards. So things like lavender or rosemary or salvias, any of the salvias or sages, they would be brilliant because they really only do need a occasional cup of water. She's not going to feel like she needs to carry something heavy and get it over to them, and somebody can actually give them a glass of water and they'll be fine, and then they can go out in the garden afterwards.
Nice. I like that idea, Paula. I hope that is some inspiration for you. Hester, thanks so much for telling us and answering listener questions. If we've got any more coming in, we'll fire them over to you in around 10 minutes. For now, we've got the news, the Swiss news that's coming up now. It's 9:30.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Now, Hester, before you go, I do want to find out what is very timely to do in the garden right now. It is spring, so there's so many things. Now is really
shopping.
The time.
Go shopping.
Go
shopping. Go and buy plants.
Go and buy. Okay, well, look, an ideal opportunity is surely a little springtime festival at Schilliger Garden Centre. And I do want to do a massive shout out to them. They give us a prize every time that we do Dig It. And so they are open on Easter Friday. So tomorrow, Schilliger Garden Centre will be open across all their shops, and also Easter Monday at the shop in Gland specifically. They are closed on Easter Sunday, and then they'll be open every Sunday throughout until June the 6th throughout spring.
Very
so it's
nice.
Just this Easter one that's closed. But the next weekend will be their little spring festival on the 23rd and 24th of April. Let me tell you what is happening for that. On the 23rd of April, in all three of their shops, they're going to have the spring festival with lots of different activities. And then also on the 24th, the Sunday in Gland, you can even visit the plant production in Gland. So you get a
and
bit
if
of...
If you haven't been before, it's actually very interesting. It's fascinating seeing the scale of it.
Seeing the scale?
Yeah.
Seeing how they actually grow these
plants? If you're
interested
in plants at all, it's a surprisingly interesting outing.
That sounds interesting indeed. So there you go, a little spring festival that's going on, not this weekend, but next weekend at Schilliger Garden Centre. It's called the Fête du Printemps. So if you want to have a look at schilliger.com, you can find all of the information there for the 23rd and also the 24th if you're in Gland or around Gland. Let's have a little look now at very timely activities for the garden, apart from the shopping and the visiting.
Well, there's some really interesting things going on. So if you're in or around Geneva, really any time in the next week, there is a lily that is flowering for the first time for 40 years. It's been all over the Swiss French language news, and it's called a Dorianthes palmeri. It is bright red. The flowers are bright red. It's inside one of the greenhouses. Apparently there's a queue. There was a queue yesterday. I'm going tomorrow. I don't mind queuing. To see a flower. It's huge, though.
One flower.
Yeah, one flower. They don't flower very often, and this is one of the very few that's ever flowered in captivity, as it were. It's an Australian lily, and they're at risk. And this is extraordinary that it's flowering. They are thrilled about it flowering. So go and have a look. It's pretty cool.
So where is this, sorry?
In Geneva, in the Botanical Garden, inside one of the greenhouses. And actually, the Botanical Garden, I was there last week, is looking lovely right now. Go and enjoy it.
Can you take a picture for us?
I will take a picture for you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I'll pop it up on our Instagram. I'm not gonna queue for it, but
I will.
Yeah, you will. I know it. What else is going on? A little event slightly further afield in Fribourg.
Yeah, so the Jardin Botanique have got their plant sale, their Marché des Plantes, from 8 till 6 on the 7th, with loads of stands from lots of well-known producers, like my favourite seed company, Zollingo. It's an organic, Swiss organic seed company, make vegetable seeds. As well as plants produced by the gardens themselves. Mm. And there's lots of talks, and they can do tours and all sorts of things. There's loads going on. It's a really, really nice plant fair. Parking is a nightmare, so try to get yourself by public transport would be my advice. There's like 8 spaces outside the Jardin Botanique. Or go at 8 o'clock in the morning. Go really early. Clear the place out and leave.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a good tip for the Botanical Garden in Fribourg. Anything particular that you think we should be buying if we do head to a garden centre this
besides
month?
A Tillandsia?
Besides a Tillandsia.
I would think about Agastache. Now, this is a plant that's sort of somehow got a bit overlooked. It's a really pretty perennial, and it comes in loads of different colours. And I know you don't particularly like lavender purple. Mm. It smells of aniseed or licorice, which is unusual if you crush seeds. Bees go nuts for it. And it comes in some very, very pretty peach and pink colours as well. I absolutely love it. So not only is it bee friendly, helps to repel things like mosquitoes at night if you put it near seating areas. You can make drinks out of it, make tea out of it. And it's very water hardy.
Lovely.
Doesn't need very much water at all. It's great.
Very timely. Thank you so much, Hester. Thanks for talking to us about all the different plants that are particularly easy. The no water plants that turns out you just need to dunk every now and then. They need a little bit. Well, I suppose I was being naive, thinking they could really do with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think nothing can do with absolutely, unless it's plastic.
Wow. And we don't like
we
those.
We don't really We're like plastic.
Not such a no. fan. Not no. such a fan. This has been Dig It. Hester, thank you so much.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.